Yep.
How are you? Are you all right? What?
No, I mightn't go to Queensland. I've pulled an abductor.
Of course you won't go to Queensland, Don. I'm going to have a serious chat. When are we on? Don.
Hang on. Are we on or not? Because you've been stitching me up, people have been telling me.
You've been stitching
up. No. You've been putting these so-called production meetings and they've been on air. So people have been saying...
Well, when the music plays, we're on. Maxine Nightingale.
Right.
What are people saying to you?
Oh, about the informality of it all?
Informality? Do you want us to be formal, Don?
Are we on or not?
Are you ready to go?
Yep.
Let's go.
Yep.
All right.
Put the earphones on so you'll hear the music come on.
Hold on.
All right, hold on. See, this is the trouble, Don. We're holding on. What do you got your notes out now?
Yeah, I'm getting my notes. Is that all right?
Well, then when you're ready, we'll start with the music. Because people know that we're going to do this when the music...
Okay, let's go.
Ready for the music?
Yes.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Now, I only bring this up now, Don, because when we do our promo piece at the end to say we've got the podcast on and we have our guest, if ever we have one, which we will have one today, people will see that you've got a nasty gash over your...
Gash? He's got a piece of flesh hanging off his head.
Is it really?
Yeah.
No, it's the bandage, isn't it?
No, it's a piece of meat.
George, are you serious?
Yeah. Why didn't you go to the doctor's?
Because I went to your mate's place for lunch.
Well, let me just start again then. When people see the introductory video about us promoting the podcast, they'll see that you've got a nasty gash until
did
the rocket
entered. Did you upset him?
Yeah, I upset him.
You got off lightly.
Yeah, I did. Thank God. Thank God Mrs. Gatto's good at the steri strips. The hand was full of blood. I'm on blood thinners. Did you realise that?
I'm going to start this again, Don.
How would we? You tell us.
Well, I've got stents.
Of course, you've gone blood thinners.
So you've got to have blood thinners. Well, it's like turning on the tap when you cut yourself.
So what did you say to him?
I was just about out to it. I didn't say anything.
If I could suggest, Rocket, if you could possibly listen to your own advice and don't interrupt when we... actually start.
Oh, you weren't going to say anything.
I was going to say, when it is apparent that you have a cut over your eye, when it is apparent that you have a cut over your eye when we do our introductory video, when we have a guest, we will ask you what has happened, Don. Why have you got a large gash over your eye, please? And are you going okay? Do you need help through life? We'll get on to you suggesting you might go up horse riding again in the near future. I'm telling you, I'll get a keeper. I'll get someone to stop you doing that. But tell us what happened to your eye, because people will notice when we do
I went around to our friend Mr. Michael Gatto or Dominic Gatto's place for something to eat yesterday.
You're a friend of his now, are you? You've befriended
well, I don't
him,
know.
Have you?
No.
Clearly not by the look of him.
Why'd you go around to Mr. Gatto's place?
Have something to eat.
You invited yourself,
did you?
Did you really?
Mm.
I don't do that.
Go on, Don. Yeah, and how did you end up with a large gash
did
over
you
your eye?
Just drive up the driveway and all of a sudden... Driveway.
I'm here. Hey, I'm here.
Yeah, I've got a feeling we that's probably
nice
what
meal.
You did.
Cheryl cooked a very
Get
nice
your hand
meal.
Away from your mouth.
Oh.
Go on. Cheryl cooked a nice meal.
Yes.
Not Mrs. Gatto.
Yes, Mrs. Gatto.
No, but we don't, that's what we call
yeah,
her.
Yeah, we call her Mrs. Gatto. You're calling her Cheryl.
Well, Cheryl.
Could be half your problem.
Don, how did you get a gash? Tell us how you got a gash over your head, you stupid man.
Getting out of the car. Oh, I think, no. I was getting into the car.
You're getting out or getting in?
I was struggling because here? I was just about out to it.
Don, please take your fucking hand away from your mouth. Geez. I can't hear you. Don. Were you getting in and out, in or out of the car? It's a simple question. Were you alighting?
I was getting into the car.
That's entering the car.
Yes.
And how did you happen to hit your
eye? I don't know. It happened so quickly.
That's what everyone says.
You serious?
I am deadly serious.
You're going to end that with Your Honour.
So you'd had lunch, had you?
No, before lunch.
Well, how were you getting into the car? Getting into the car to go and visit Mick, were you?
He had one arm up his back.
Fucking unreal, isn't it? Don, were you getting into the car to go and visit Mick, were you?
I thought Bernie Quinlan was bad. You were worse.
Don.
What about the way you speak to him?
Who, Bernie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like a Spanish Inquisition.
No, you're horrible to him.
Speak to him like
I'm horrible to him.
Last week when we spoke and he left the gate open. The way you spoke to him was terrible.
You speak to him like a dog, Don. Get away back. Shut that gate. Jump over. Get the ball. Fetch a ball. Get the stick.
It was horrible, Don.
Sit down.
I have told him a million. Anyway, we won't.
Don, you were getting into your car to go and visit Mick, were you?
No, I was already there. We're just putting the car in the garage, in the driveway, if that's all right.
Where was the car in the first place?
Oh, don't worry about it.
Were you getting in the were you getting in the driver's side or the boot?
Don, if you were putting the car in the driveway, where was the car in the first place?
In the
paddock.
In the street.
Oh, I see. So you drove in and you hit your head getting into the car.
Yes.
And you don't know how it happened.
No.
What do you? Has anyone ever had 9 stitches over their eyebrow getting into a car?
Mate, this is what he's been told to say. He doesn't remember.
Can you get
it? He's not allowed to say.
Now I know you're very. You're a devotee of the Doctor and. The Doctor and Rebecca's show on Channel 9, The Ninja Warrior.
Love it. What? It's my favourite show.
No, good. But could
the Doctor
you,
being Dr.
Who's
Fordham?
The Doctor?
Oh, Fordham. John, every time we mention the Doctor.
Oh, shit, that's my phone.
John's just slammed his phone down onto the desk.
I don't watch. What is it called?
Ninja Warrior.
Well, you say the it's Doctor.
So good. Yeah, the Doctor. Well, how many people do I call the Doctor on this show?
I would not have a clue.
No, that's right. The Doctor, Dr. Fordham, is.
Why do you call him Doctor?
Because he's your psychoanalyst from afar. He is trying to work out if you are fair dinkum or you are genuinely fucking stupid. And I said the latter. And he said, I'm not
fucking stupid. You said fucking stupid.
I said that.
He doesn't.
Talking He's about convinced. Fucking stupid.
Just a minute, Don.
Don't swear, Don.
Don't Look, swear.
I'm quoting him.
No, he said. No, he didn't. So the ninja and Rebecca. I mean, not the ninja and Rebecca. Rebecca and the Doctor. I've got a great show there. We could speak about that later. We could speak about it now. Don.
Let's get her on.
Pardon?
Let's get her on. I want to talk about the show.
Well, I will ask her. She mightn't come on.
I love it.
Good.
Love it.
Love it.
No, it, the show. I'm happy to love her. I don't care.
I'm a great admirer of those fellows. Do you think you could have done it?
No, those men and women.
The women do it.
Yeah.
Or Rebecca's a woman.
She doesn't do the course.
She runs the show with the Doctor.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have had a go at that in my heyday.
John, you can't get into a car.
No, I couldn't do it now. I haven't got the upper body strength.
Let's just see how many you can get through.
No, I couldn't do one. But maybe in my day. No, you and I, we're finished.
I'll challenge you, I said.
Please, John, don't be embarrassed. This is embarrassing. I would have loved to have a go in my day.
Let's set up our own one out the warehouse.
I will challenge you to a series of ninja exercises, Don.
We'll go down to a playground and I'll film it.
I've got a feeling if you can't get into your car without gashing your eyebrow, I'm through to the semis without dropping a set.
You got a call.
Well, who knows I've got a call until you alert
people. Well, your phone's flashing.
Well, that's okay, Don. We're on air.
By the way, you don't like me bringing this up, but I'm going to. You were spotted at Geelong and you went off your head because someone rang over.
What's that?
Geelong. Ross Smith saw you reading the newspaper down on the bay at Sandringham.
Again?
No, in the past. Oh. Now, I had another report. Mm-hmm. What were you doing walking around Ivanhoe by yourself on Saturday? What are you laughing for? Were you?
Because I know why.
Yeah.
He was spotted. Someone rang up and said, hey, he's walking around Ivanhoe by himself.
That's correct.
What are you doing out there?
I'll tell you, Don, if you give me a chance. You put me on to a friend of yours, a doctor from Hawthorne.
Who's got a big question to answer later on too.
A doctor from Hawthorne, woman. And I was delivering some stuff to the doctor because she wanted to know if I needed some of the things out the back of my warehouse. And I delivered them out to Ivanhoe. So I put them in the back of one of my cars. old cars, and I went to start the car, and the clutch went straight to the floor.
Really?
No, I'm making it up.
Oh, no. Oh,
straight to the floor. So I took the furniture and the refrigerator out of the back of the car, nearly had a hernia doing it, and put it into another old car. So I get the old car out to Ivanhoe, and I meet the doctor and her partner. You met her partner?
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Bruce. Bruce. Very nice man, Bruce.
Why are you putting the affectation on Bruce?
Because that's the way you call, say Bruce.
No, you don't. You yes, say you Bruce. Do.
Bruce.
No, you...
A blues Bruce. Spruce. The grey goose. He likes to drink grey goose. He's a very nice man. So, anyhow, so I get the furniture out of the back of the car, the second car that I've had to get going, and I go to start it. No, won't start. So... the doctor and Bruce were on their way to a function to celebrate the boy who's played 400 games for Hawthorn. Shane Burgoyne, who's played a fantastic career of 400 games.
I want to bring that up too with you.
While I'm in the middle of the story?
No, not when you...
Okay, well, shut up. So you asked me about Ivanhoe.
Yep.
So I can't get the car started. So Bruce and the doctor, they stand there, and I said, please don't be late for the function. I will call the RACV. So I call the RACV, and very charming lass on the end, I presume it was a woman, spoke like a woman, says, yes, that'll be good. That'll be 3 hours probably, a delay. Fair enough, because they're busy, Don. They can't rush out to see me because there's other people ahead in the queue.
For the second time today. Would it be the second time you saw them, wouldn't it? Did you call the RACV for the first breakdown?
Yes, no, but you asked me why I was out of...
He was walking around Ivanhoe by... I wanted to know why.
So what would you do for 3 hours while you're waiting for the RACV?
I don't know.
You'd walk around Ivanhoe. I went up to get a coffee and I was walking...
Yeah, that's what I do, a coffee.
So I was walking back past a pub... And a bloke comes out of the pub and says, hey! And I thought, oh, hello, here we go. I'm going to be mugged or they'll draw lots
nice
from a watch coat
Ivanhoe.
And bend me over and bend drive
you over.
Me over into the back of the... So a bloke says, hey, Foss. I said, oh, hello. He said, can you come in here and have a photo with the boys? I said, oh, mate, could you bring the boys out here? He said, no, fucking come in here. So I thought, well, I'll take that as a demand.
Did he use that adjective?
He did.
He use said, it as an adjective or a noun?
He just said, could you fucking come in here? And I thought, the tone of his voice, I thought, I'll probably go in there.
Too much swearing, did I?
Well, I'm not swearing gratuitously. I'm just saying what someone said. He said, could you effing come in here, effing? And I said, effing okay, I effing well will. So I effing go into the bar, and there's a whole lot of, don't worry about COVID, there's a troop of people swilling down beers and women, men and women, men and
come on.
And he's so
padding the story, he's making it interesting.
We've got a lot to talk about today, and he thinks he needs a stretch.
So I'm standing.
This is his outlet for the week. Just go with it.
All right, that's why I was in Ivanhoe.
Come on.
So what's wrong with the car?
So this very charming. Now don't read anything into this. This very nice Indian man came with a turban tow truck. And his name was Raj. And he said, a very competent man, and he backed this tow truck. How he got it into where my car was, I don't know. And he winched it on, and I sat with him in the cab. I'm not sure if I was meant to sit with him in the cab due to COVID, but I did. And he said, no, please, sit with me. So he drives me back to
Where does Raj live?
Raj lives in... I don't want to...
Well, not in, out in the east.
He lives in Werribee. He was on call. He was
you
dispatched.
You could be a carrier.
Hmm?
That's where the virus is, out west.
No, Raj was... Raj had come from Bundoora, and he was on the way back, and he got diverted to pick me up. And I had a very lovely chat to him.
Right, good. Now, Monday?
Geez, that'd be interesting, a chat with you. I know. Like driving blood from a, getting blood from a stone. Well,
now tell us.
Now
about,
I don't.
Hang on. Anyway, what's wrong with the car?
I don't mean to be egotistical.
The car's rooted. Go rooted. Forward. Go
I
forward
don't mean
Monday.
To be egotistical, well, but
what?
He said
don't start now.
He didn't know who I was.
That's good. Well, why no. would he? Why?
Oh, look, Don, I'm just.
And you know
saying.
Why he knows that? Because Sam said, "Do you know who I am?" Why else would he know that? How else would he know that? Because you must have asked the question.
We got Huey and Dewey here. he didn't know who I was because he said.
Are
I
you
said,
going through something of not being.
Yeah, mate. What do you know who I am?
Not cathartic.
Midlife crisis.
Yeah, well,
midlife crisis.
You know,
midlife.
An adjustment to normal
I
life.
I didn't say.
Like you're up there once and you're down there now.
I just
want to get.
The reason I said he didn't know who I was because we had a very good chat. I said, where are you
from? About what?
I was about to say, I said, where are you from, Raj? He said, the Punjab. I said, yes.
You lied.
He said, the Punjab. If you know, the Punjab. And I said, good. And I said, oh, he had a couple of kids and all that. And I said, do they play cricket? Because I thought Indian, they'd play cricket.
Stereotype.
Yeah, that's right. I thought that. And he said, and what do you do? And I said, well, I'm sort of not doing anything now. He said, what did you? That's how I know he didn't know who I was. Now, that's not being egotistical. Most people say, g'day, Sam. He said, I said, I tried to tell him what I did. I said, well, I was in the media. He said, oh, yeah. I won't speak like he did. He said, oh, yeah. What sort of media? And I said, well, I was on the
everything. Everything.
I was on
papers. Radio. No, I was bigger than big.
I'll tell you what I told him. Don't you tell me what I told him, Don. I said I was on the television. And then he said, what do you think he said then? What were you on the television doing? So what would you say, Don?
Well, I'd just tell
him. I was on a football show.
I would have just said, listen, Raj, I was bigger than big once. Once upon a time, I was bigger than big.
And
take advice from Don.
And Raj would have pulled the truck over and said, get out, wanker. So anyhow, I said, well, I was on a football show. He said, oh, and then he said, Don, wait for it. He said, did you play football? And I said, so how do you go on with this without
that's
telling
good. That's
it's
good,
a normal
isn't it?
Conversation.
That's
well,
a normal.
Well, you just said, oh, I said, don't you know who I am? I didn't say any of that. And I said, I played for Geelong. He said, oh, the Cats. And I said, yes, Rose, the Cats. And he said, did you, how, went on like this, how long did you play and all that? And in the end I told him I couldn't contain myself. And I said, yeah, I was the captain, I was in the team of the century, I was an all-star, played 100 games or 300 games, I was a star, I told him the whole lot. And he said, well, don't, you go easy. He said, don't give us too much, mate. He said, no, and he was very good.
Okay, no, I'm more worried about the car. What's wrong with the car?
The car's
fair income.
Don't worry about the car.
The car's
move
like,
forward to Monday.
The car's like
what
Joey.
Do you mean Monday?
Move forward to Monday, please.
The car is like Joey Kangaroo's brother. It's Roo Ted.
No, Wallaby Ted's brother.
Wallaby Ted, Roo Ted.
Hey, tell us about Monday.
Monday.
We've got a lot of stuff to talk
just
about.
Yeah, we'll stop. We'll give us be a bit more succinct.
Oh, yeah, I said, what was he doing? What was I doing walking around?
What happened home? Monday?
3 hours.
We've what? Got that answer. Okay. What happened Monday?
Cars? No. Oh, boat. Oh, how am I going, Don?
Stacked his boat.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So I've got, oh, I've got me pride. And oh,
no. Not only did he stack it, he stacked it into another boat.
And by the
oh, no.
By the way.
The money pit.
By the way, Rocket.
You've boat.
How about you're as solid as a blancmange? I say, keep this between us.
Oh, try and keep anything with you too, Motormouth. Now you're copping. I'm glad he's got a mouth.
Keep this between us, Rocket. Yeah. So I'm driving along and I get a phone call. I said, hello. He said, it's Tony Sheehan. I said,
I told Mike.
Tony. I said, yes, Tony. He said, had a bit of trouble with the car and the boat, have you? I said,
excuse me.
Yeah, how did you know that, Tone? He said, the Rocket told Dad.
I told his dad.
Told Dad, and Dad told me. I said, so here I am, I'm explaining to
so
Tony.
You, can I ask one question?
Of course, Don.
You're talking to Tony Sheehan now, you slagged
yes.
off.
Yes, I did.
You
I slagged
gave
off at
him
you.
The greatest I bake
did. Yes,
ever.
I did, because he.
About Mick, your mate. It had to do with your mate. That was the blue that they had yeah. about it was involving Mick.
Yes, I thought he'd been indiscreet, and I told him so, and we're fine now, because this is what friends can do. Because I've got a friend at AFL House who I'm going to have a coffee with, and sometimes I...
Surely you've had that, yeah.
No, I'm going to... I will be having it, I'm sure.
Have you heard from him?
No, not yet. No, no, not
yet. When do you reckon you'll hear from him?
Not yet. What year is
it? His brother was very helpful with my new motor mower. We had a great conversation on Monday.
Could anyone
the brother,
follow what we're talking about? Seriously.
Hamish. He's got a brother called Hamish.
Hamish Mac.
Hamish McLaughlin.
McLaughlin.
He's got a Toro.
Don't tell me you're riding a Toro.
Yes, I was.
Don, if you can't get into your car without putting 18 stitches in your head, I would get off the ride-on mower if I was you, mate. Seriously. You end up cutting your legs off, Stumpy.
Hamish is into his lawn. Well, a beautiful place, showed me photographs.
Grass. Does he's very,
grass.
Very...
He likes cutting grass. It. He likes cutting it.
Does he's very,
does
very...
Does he smoke it? Does he?
I don't think so.
You sure?
Yeah, I don't think so.
Anyway,
what about his high-profile esteemed brother? Does he come down and give him a hand with the lawn chores?
No, he's trying to work a coffee out with you.
Yeah, I know. He must be extraordinarily busy. Anyhow, Don, that's how I came... So, I'm the boat, yep. So, the boat... I'm limping the boat in, practicing to limp the boat in with a remote control device.
So he needs some money, Don.
Yeah. You
get a little whip around for
I'm
it.
Going a bit dusty.
We're going to set up a, what do you call it, GoFundMe page.
GoFundMe for the boat.
No, for his life. His life is in
so life.
Hang on, tell me about the boat, please.
Yes, yeah, so I'm backing it in on a remote control device.
Can I ask a question again?
Of course you can, Don. Keep interrupting so until why, I, why the rocket wonders just, why this goes on for so long.
What, you can operate boats now with remote control. So you stand on the pier.
Will you stand on
could.
The... Could. So how...
The rocket will tell you how to do it. Go ahead, rocket.
I just answered. I said you could. It's a good call. It's a good call you made.
Well, I was answering it. You can't.
Why not?
Because it's attached to the boat, but you walk up to the back of the boat, so you pretend the back of the boat's the front, and then you back it in while you're standing at the back of the boat.
Oh, that's pretending not the way you it's explained it. Has it got a cord, has it?
It has.
But you could stand... On right on the corner of the boat that you're backing
yes,
into the corner.
Of
yeah.
course.
Okay.
So you can walk to the back of the boat as you reverse it and therefore it ostensibly is going forward and you can berth it better.
Just to be, make sense of this for people, because it's not a boat, it's a ship.
It is. It's huge.
It's not a ship.
Well, it's huge. It's,
any, it doesn't
it's
matter.
Very, very
it
nice.
It doesn't matter what it is. So,
so what's happened?
I'll tell you. When you reverse the remote control device round, I know you're going to say, how simple are you? And I'm happy to say I'm simple and I was incompetent. But when you turn the remote device around in your hand, it then reverses what you think is going forward and what you think is going back. So when you push the lever... to push it forward, it actually, if you're not concentrating, is pushing it back. So I got it halfway in, and I thought I was going a bit quickly, so I'll reverse it. And, of course, what I did was I pushed it forward, and the boat sped into the wharf.
It spud.
Oh. It sped into the wharf and to someone else's boat.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes, Don. Oh. And it put a hole in the hole in the boat, and...
And the boat next door.
And the boat, and the wharf, and the bloody fenders, and the... And so...
I suppose you stayed calm. You would have been very, very calm.
I tell you, I was so annoyed, Don.
Oh, jeez, I can imagine.
Could you? I was so annoyed I couldn't speak, so that was lucky. I couldn't get any words or any invective or swear words or blasphemous words out. I couldn't speak it. They stuck in my throat. I thought to myself, how dumb, I'm happy to say this, Don, how dumb and stupid and incompetent and senile and are you that you couldn't work that out. So
how's the boat?
The boat is...
Wallaby Ted's brother.
Yeah, it's Roo Ted. It is...
So the car's rooted.
The car's rooted.
Two cars are rooted.
The and car's the rooted. I couldn't
you
help...
You should answer that.
I couldn't help looking at the phone.
You should answer that.
I couldn't help looking at the phone.
He knows where you are.
I couldn't help looking at the phone, Don. Bernie Quinlan's name has come up on the phone. Answer
I bet
it.
You he stacked it right on or something. Something's happened. He's left the gate open. All the cattle's got out.
Can I tell you something, Don? I had a whole lot of topics to talk about.
So did
you. You've wasted my fucking time today.
So have you wasted
all
my time.
All you had to do was say you couldn't get into the car because you had stitches, and I told you why I was in Ivanhoe, and you went on and on. Can I ask a question? Yes, Don. Well, can I ask another question?
So this is helpful.
What?
So then this is helpful.
Right. So, okay. So here we go, Don. Now, it's a bit hard to know where to start, but I'm insisting that you don't stop looking at your phone. I know he's left a message. I can see that now, but just concentrate. You said to me that you might have to take a couple of weeks off and we might have to find a replacement to do this, the 75,000 people that tune in.
Is that how many do it now?
Oh, well, we just keep.
So, really? Well, fair income.
Yeah. We have this conversation every week.
Yeah, we do
well,
too.
Well, I'm not into this. No, but we have all the rest of it.
We have the conversation every week. We've had 5 million people have downloaded us, all the same people, but it doesn't matter.
It's the same person over and over again.
It's over and over and over, Don. If you download yourself 20 times, then that's 20 people we get credited for. So keep crediting us. So, Don, so you said to me, I might have to. I won't take your voice. I will take your voice off.
You might as well.
I will. I said,
now listen, I'm just telling you.
This is his exact words.
I'm just mind-fucking myself at the minute.
He said that. That's Don. Did you not say that?
You don't speak like that.
Did you say you're mind-fucking yourself, Don?
I do use that term.
Yes.
He said, I'm just mind-fucking myself. I think I might go up north because I have a function to attend and then I might go on in my truck and my big Pantechnicon with the horses and do some rodeo or some dressage rodeo. Or whatever you fucking do. I don't know. And I said, Don, could I give you a small amount of advice, please? If you're incapable of getting into a car without hitting your noggin, I don't think at this stage, Don, and you've done your back, I'm told. Bernie rang me and said, Don's done his back. Have you done your back? What's that? Don't nod. People can't hear.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. Did Bernie ring you?
Yes, he said, Don, I'm worried about Don. He's done his back. I said, I'm worried about Don. He's just knocked his head getting into a car in McGaddo's Drive. I said, so please, Don, I'm going to have you, I'm going to have a doctor's certificate restraining you from doing any more physical exercise. Don, I think this would be good. And I don't think we have to find a replacement to do any.
You're not going anywhere.
You cannot be serious. You're not going anywhere, Don. In fact, you're not going anywhere in life.
So should we start the show?
Right. Now play the music.
I'll hit the music.
Okay, talking about music, I gave it a rap a couple of weeks, months ago. The best thing since Rage is on the ABC.
Right.
Yes. Or Rage is on every... I'm sorry. Is Rage still on? Countdown. Rage is still on. But it's called The Sound.
You've said this.
I know, and I'm giving it another plug. Well, I watched it Sunday afternoon again.
Stein, he used to be my contemporary at Channel 7. He used to be the head of sport. He produces it.
Yeah,
Saul Stein.
There was a lady hosting Saul. It on.
No, he's the producer. He's executive producer.
Call Saul.
Well, he should be complimented.
Well, we should get him on.
It is the best music show I have seen for a long time. Very well produced. The artists are fantastic. We are right up there as far as international acts are concerned and music.
So that's a Gudinski production too.
I saw his name there. I saw his name. It's an excellent show.
So that's good to know. But let's not bury the lead. What's going on at your football club, Don?
Is this sport now?
Well, we need to merge this because it's a big time.
We've got someone. We're going to speak to someone in half an hour. We started this half an hour ago and we haven't even got onto a topic.
What about all my topics?
Well, so we'll get there. We'll do what I said, but we need to talk about this one.
So
this
whether you're what about it? This is news, what not crossover.
What a fuck up this is.
I think it's
language. Sorry. Set the tone.
Strike me.
The
don't swear gratuitously. Only if someone else swears.
Shut up. Let him answer the question.
The mistake was made a few years ago when they extended the contract.
Are you kidding me?
No, I am not kidding you, and I think it's a very, very good
decision. Tell people what you're talking about.
Well, he said what's happening in your football club, Alistair Clarkson. The so-called pass over.
The best coach in the league is being given the arse for someone who's, no offence to Sam Mitchell, but he's unproven. We've been here before three times.
Okay, now Collingwood did it, Essendon did it with Hurd,
Brisbane did it with Voss.
Let me tell you something, Rod, about football,
please. What you're talking about?
About Alistair Clarke.
Well, tell the Rocket.
He has.
No, not him. Tell the people listening, the 75,000, that Alistair Clarkson has been sort of terminated, we
sort
think.
Sort of, he has been.
Well, he has, but and you think by...
He went to Hawthorn himself to work his contract out. He wanted an extension or know where he was going. And
well, they've told him where he's going.
Exactly right. We're not going to extend your contract.
Okay.
And that... That is a very wise move by Hawthorn.
You know,
you're saying Alistair Clarkson should be sacked?
Not sacked.
Not renewed.
Exactly.
Same thing. That's sacked.
It was on a couple of years. It shouldn't have been extended in the first place. And let me tell you about coaches.
All right.
Coaches are no good unless they've got players.
Now you, so we sack
the only coach in my time,
Alan Jeans.
No, sorry. I would say Tom Hafey went from a successful club at Richmond, then went to Collingwood, then went to Geelong and Sydney and got each of those teams into the finals. Now, you give me another coach that's had success.
Mm-hmm. Mick Malthouse.
The Dogs, he got the prelim when we'd been busted asses. He then went to West Coast and did well.
Took a long time to get them up.
Well, he just did.
Then West Coast and then Collingwood. He just did.
That's all right. But I would say
Hafey is in front of that.
No, but he might be.
But you see other coaches, David Park and Tony Jewell, Alan Jeans. A lot of coaches, you know, think, isn't he a good coach? Goes to another club. Yes. If you have not got the cattle, you are not a good coach.
I agree with that, Don. But we're not decrying Tom Hafey's record, but... Mick Malthouse did the same thing, but he got them into six grand finals in 5 years.
Who?
Tom Hafey? Six grand finals in 5 years.
Who?
He got Collingwood.
Who? Did he really?
Yes, he did. Are you querulous as to how he could do that?
Well, he got them fit, number one. They had the talent.
Are you querulous how he could get into six grand finals in 5 years? Do you know what querulous means? You're looking. I think you're talking about
the replay.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay, good one.
Well, I was all right.
Do you think you had us on some sort of?
I had him. He didn't know what querulous meant.
So I don't mean to keep going back to this. For some reason, we keep talking about Mr. Gatto today, but he sent a message long before anybody else knew about Nathan Buckley resigning, and yes, we were like, "Wow!" And I spoke to my contacts at the Herald Sun, who went, really? And then they got onto it. So he was before everyone, right?
He was.
In that message...
He'd be well connected, Mick, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Reckon?
And he, in that message, I hope I'm not getting in trouble for divulging this, he also said, when Buckley was resigning, he said, they've already got Clarkson for 5 years. So all I'm saying is Collingwood don't seem to be in any real hurry to get a coach at the moment. And this is all... panning out, and you said, Don, just then, you made a point that Clarkson went to the club and asked about extending the contract. Perhaps he forced the issue. He knew he's trying to make something happen.
Of course he is.
So do you think that Mr. Gatto's message is correct in entirety?
I think you are spot on, Rocket.
Now, well, I'm not.
I'd never thought of this, but Mr. Gatto and Cheryl might have come to the... Mrs. Gatto might have come to the conclusion, Don, that they have some inside information that Nathan Buckley was pushed and that they have made overtures to Alistair Clarkson and they're all playing the game and lo and behold, Collingwood will sign Alistair Clarkson and I don't know who will go
to... It'll be a massive case of, what a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Deirdre
and
Chambers.
Mr. Gatto, who would be remarkably well connected for a whole lot of reasons. And I tell you, well... Mr. Gatto's connected. We're going to speak to someone that you wouldn't believe we're going to speak to later on in this podcast. And Mr. Gatto organised it. You wouldn't believe who we're going
to
speak
to. Hasn't spoken to anyone.
Hasn't spoken to anyone. He's going to speak to us.
Why would he speak to us?
Mick told him to.
Because Mick told him to.
Ivan.
Yeah, no, that's right. Someone's come in. It's Ivan Milat, a.k.a. Paul. So you think that it's a good idea that Alistair Clarkson has been cut?
I think it's a good idea by Hawthorn.
I think it's a disaster.
Why?
Well, in business, if you've got a leading company, okay, which is what Hawthorn are, and you're going to sack the. You don't get rid of the CEO unless you know who you're going to put in place. And you don't put a trainee CEO when you're a leading company. You put in a proven CEO from somewhere else. And no offense to Sam Mitchell, I'm just saying you don't sack the.
Oh, no, most he's a good bloke.
A heart of gold. You don't sack. You don't. There's nothing in that. Don. You don't sack the best coach in the league and then put an untried coach in. That's just diabolical. Put Nathan Buckley in if you want. But don't put Sam Mitchell in.
Hawthorn are going to be down for 8 years, and they've got to continually go to the draft.
So they're sacrificing Sam.
Now, with regard to the coach, Alistair Clarkson, he's on a lot of money, and he will continue to up the ante as he goes on. He will not be coaching for the same amount of money.
So, what's
they
your point?
They can save a lot of money. Hawthorn are going to be down. The money will not be coming in as it did when they were successful, marketing-wise and whatever else. So, start and trim the fat off the meat now, because you're in for 8 years of hard yakka.
So, they're sacrificing Sam.
Sam
Mitchell.
Yeah, well, I think yes,
and because they don't have to pay him as much. They know
that's
no,
right, and so it's a business decision.
I hear what you're saying.
And he is untried, and I've got my doubts about Mitchell.
So you're saying, have just you? To be clear,
yes, because he was captain for 12 months, if you remember,
yes,
and obviously couldn't relate to the players.
Just hang on, just let me get this straight. That?
Well, why would you get replaced after 12 months?
It wasn't 12 months. It was a bit longer than that, wasn't it?
I don't think so. I'll give him 2 years.
Don, just so I've got this straight, because I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense. What you're saying is they've recognised...
What are you laughing for? This idiot.
Don't listen to him. What you're saying is Hawthorn have recognised they've got 8 years of rebuild and there's no point paying a coach $1.2 million during that period.
I believe they've got 8 years of rebuild.
But they believe they've got a rebuild period and they don't see there's any point paying a coach a gazillion dollars
through it. I don't know. That's my thoughts on the matter. I think it's terrific. And they will not be paying Mitchell as much as what they paid.
And Al will go to Collingwood.
And they've got, you know, the SAF cap, they've got to cut costs. And I think it's a terrific move because you just got to do the pay.
So it's win-win.
This is the first time you've ever agreed with Jeff Kennett.
But was it Jeff Kennett? Could it have been Richie Vandenberg? Could it have been Justin Reeves?
Give credit.
Could it have been Alistair Clarkson coming along and saying, what's going to happen to my contract in next year because it runs out next year?
I've had an approach from
the buck stops at the top. Give Kennett some credit for once, Don. That if
what
you
about,
think it's a
talking
good,
about coaches,
if it's you think it's a good decision, give him some credit. Yes,
the guy
Jeff.
The coach is Geelong, and Geelong, I think they're the most successful team in trying to maintain and making the transformation. Like he won a premiership in his first year. And to stay up there, I think Geelong have done it very, very well.
Nice segue, Don.
To what?
To Gary Hocking. Stephen Hocking.
I was disappointed with him.
Why?
I thought when he came in, he was going to change the game, and he did by making them line up. But I don't know whether they got to him at the AFL, but why can't they just admit they've got things wrong and say, yes, they did it better in the days gone by instead of implementing all the time new rules.
And only one of them really worked.
Which one?
Standing on the mark.
I was just going to say, the standing on the mark, isn't that a ridiculous rule? But I mean, we could always go and move. As soon as they moved off that line, you could move. That's the nature of the game.
How hard would that job be to do it?
Stephen Hawking's job? I don't think it'd be hard at all.
Not at all.
Because
he's common sense.
That's exactly right, John. It's but you've got to pacify the coaches and what.
Mate,
why don't you do it?
All you've got to do. He could do it. He could do it.
And what?
And not what? He could do it and not worry about pacifying and satisfying the coaches.
And when I
this is the way it used to be done in days gone by. They would make the rules and you would follow.
When I speak to my very good friend over coffee, I'm going to suggest that I am the man, Don. Seriously, I can take this by the scruff of the neck, this competition. I see that we've...
Are we going to do a sports section today?
Yeah, we are. Well,
because we're getting into sport here.
Yeah, no, we're not now. Have you heard of Gary Chestnut?
Hang on. I want to go back to this job that you reckon you can do.
Well, he doesn't...
Now, hang on. Are we doing sport or his job?
Go on then.
Come on.
Yeah, go on.
I want to know, do you reckon you could do the job there? Why don't you apply for it?
Well, I might in person.
Because he's not one of the boys, although he did go.
He was? I thought he was.
I know he was. He is a grammar boy, but he's not an amateur.
No.
But you got to have a bit of both.
He was a card-carrying senior, I reckon. What am I trying to say? He was one of the first, like, one of foundation member of the boys' club.
Yeah,
Silver Tails. And Eddie and Gary and all them. And all
that, mate, was in the media.
I've got the same silver crew, mate. Spoon.
He was the one they all pandered to.
I've got a silver spoon stuck so far down my throat you couldn't get it out with a crowbar.
You pinch my line.
Well, let's interview you for the job, me and Don.
Well, I tell you, I'm...
Don and I are from... I'm Don. Okay, so I'm Rod Martin and he's Don Barton. We're from Martin, Barton and Fargo.
Do you think anybody's going to listen to this shit?
Tell us a bit about yourself, Sam.
Right. Well, look, Don, I think I'm eminently qualified. And I'll speak to my friend when I have coffee with him. I've come from humble backgrounds.
Well, have an interview if you've got
shut
a friend?
Shut up and let him answer
if you've
it.
Got a friend, an eminent friend who's going to push you in anyway. So this is superfluous having an interview.
Just let him go. I want to interview him. Let's interview him.
I was one of triplets. I've had a hard life. I was the only one on the bottle. And
what?
I was left as an abandoned baby at a doorstep. I was then sponsored by a family from Ethiopia. And I've come up the hard way. My stepfather, he was of humble means. He was a caddy at a miniature golf club. And my stepmother taught me to swim. She was a streetwalker in Venice. And I believe I'm eminently qualified. I left school at 12 and joined the circus and became a clown. What better credentials do you need?
How about being serious about it for a second? What about you actually tried to do it? I got another question.
I did some bungee jumping from 400 feet. I did a 400 foot bungee jump.
Mad.
Don, unfortunately, the rope was 410 foot long and I suffered severe mental acuity.
Right, hang on. I've Googled some questions.
Yep.
All right, these are the typical questions you get. What do you know about our company and why do you want to work here?
I know it's in a state of disrepair and it's run by incompetent people who.
Do you think you'd qualify for the boys' club, though?
Absolutely. I would reimagine the boys' club.
Talking about the boys' club, that book's still selling very, very well.
Hot cakes.
What skills and strengths can you bring to this position?
What skills I have are an abundance of common sense. And don't get caught with the little problems. Just get the big ones sorted out and the little ones will take care of themselves.
Okay. Well, can you tell me about your current job?
Yes, I'm currently an investigative sort of reporter, journalist, freelance person into the fact that the AFL is just conflicted, extremely conflicted. I noticed that the current CEO, is that Mr. McLaughlin, has appointed a woman. Why would you? Why would you appoint a woman? Why would you appoint someone to investigate the happenings of what's going on in the AFL? I thought that was your job. If you're the boss, you handle it. Why are you appointing people in various committees to oversee the problems of the AFL? Surely that's your job, isn't it?
It's a good point.
Why would you? They've been appointed.
Are you misogynist?
This has nothing to do with it.
Well, it is. If you're going to fit into the AFL.
They've appointed a lady, a woman, called Rhonda Brighton Hall. I'm not sure if that's where she lives or that's her surname, Brighton Hall.
No, that's her name.
Okay.
Brighton Hall.
She lives at the Brighton Hall?
Yeah.
Well, Rhonda. And they've appointed
Help
her.
Me.
They've appointed her as a businesswoman to review AFL practices. Why would you have to appoint someone to oversee the practices of the AFL when you are the boss? What are you getting paid for? Why do you have to appoint various people to various committees, rules, practices, Indigenous? Why can't you do it if that's your job?
Because they run lean in there. They've only got 795 people.
Run lean, please. They don't pay taxes.
And they've only got 795 people working.
Beg your pardon?
They've only got 795.
He was taking the piss, Don.
Okay, are we still going with the interview?
Yeah, no, I think I would honestly go in there and I think I could It's not a hard job, seriously. If the biggest decision you make is not being able to move on a standing on a mark, I spoke to someone yesterday. I spoke to a man from New Zealand, a Maori. He's at the service station, and he makes great coffee. And I get on.
I know him.
Yeah, he's a very good man. And he said, "I've been to the football, bro," and I can't understand.
Oh God!
He said, "Calls me bro." He said, "I've been to the football. I can't understand." It really, I said, join the club, mate. I played for it for 18 years. I said, I can't understand it either. He said, what's that business where you stand on the mark and you can't move? I said, yep, that's Stonehenge stuff. You know, you've got to stand there like a stone statue.
The game will never be international.
Of course. Hang on, this one. Can you tell me about a time when you had a disagreement with a boss or colleague and how you handled the situation?
Yeah, I can. I said, look. My boss came to me and he said I was
where
late.
In the bank or at the hairdressing?
I went to a
when you were a bank employee.
I went to a function, and I was late. And he said, as I walked in, and I came in with a woman I was going out with called Florence, and she
from the hospital.
She wasn't from the hospital. She was a woman called Florence.
How'd you go at the hospital?
And I walked in and my boss said, and this is how I handled it, I thought diplomatically. He said, as we walked into our seats, he said, good evening, Flo, you're late for the show. I thought it was a pretty clever response. I said, get fucked. And that put him back in his box. He thought he'd made a little bit of a rhyming thing. Good evening, Flo, you're late for the show. And I retorted beautifully. I said, get fucked. And I think that's probably the way you handle people who are fucking smart asses, Don. You carry no truck with them. You come straight to the point. And I rose up in that organisation as a result.
That's a state savings bank? No. It was. You were the teller at the hospital.
National.
Where do you see yourself
National
in
Bank.
10 years?
What?
Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
In a facility. in a facility with Don and Mick Sheehan and Rex.
Oh, jeez. He's been ringing me.
I tuned in to Rex last Saturday at 11:30.
He goes up and down like a yo-yo.
And, Rex is meant to do nightline and calls, and I actually recorded. He did a race call. I don't know what that had to do with. I don't know what that had to do with anything, but I recorded it. And if you think I'm joking, I could play you. This was Rex. This is just people tune into 3OW and they want advice on, leish, bugs and moths and gardening and tips about cleaning and current affairs. And Rex suddenly branched into, he's an amazing man. He branched into this. I don't know why he did, but.
He goes up and down, doesn't he, depending on his day.
This was Rex.
No, it's not good, Rex.
All right, well, we won't do it. I recorded over it. So anyhow, I think I could do this. I've been in a facility, probably. Now, I've got a good 10 years of a stewardship there at the AFL. I wouldn't want a lot of money. Maybe I wouldn't. What would you think remuneration would be? What do you think?
I'd
say much remuneration?
800,000 to start.
It's got to be more than that.
What, a month? No, he's going to get incremental increases.
But the average executive at the AFL gets 880.
He's got to start at the bottom and do time. But he will get there.
Start at the bottom.
3 years' time, he'll be on 3 million, just like Andrew.
I haven't got enough time left to start at the bottom.
Andrew took 3 million out in his last year, didn't he?
He'll be brown bread in 3 years.
Hey?
He'll be brown bread.
What do you mean brown bread?
Dead.
That is not.
Nice. I'll go. I reckon in a couple of years I'll go into Tobin Brothers and I'll go shop. so anyhow, I reckon Don. I reckon I can do the job. I wouldn't 800 grand. What a month? What? How much?
Yeah, you don't get out of bed for that,
mate. I wouldn't give you the steam off my piss for 800. Sorry, I got a bit.
We're still on.
Sorry, I'm working a bit blue.
Are we going to do sport?
I'm working a bit blue. Are we doing sport?
No.
I tell you what, we are doing.
I want to ask you this sport. Question
before. Listen, have you heard of? I asked you this, Gary Chestnut.
No, I haven't.
Well, do you know what he broke the record talking about sport? He ate 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes in a competition in America. 74 hot dogs in 10 minutes. Can you comprehend that, Don? I watched him do it on the. I watched for 10 minutes while he stuffed 74 hot dogs.
Now, what I don't understand is the last thing you feel like after you've seen that is a hot dog. Like, what's it telling?
I tell you, it makes you puke. And a woman.
Yeah, she's the story.
The woman, she could only eat 30 hot dogs. He ate 74.
Yeah, but on her, can I just say this? On this, right? I'll read this. So in 2019, she failed to even qualify for the event. But last year, she used the COVID lockdown to her advantage. Lesko, her name's Michelle Lesko, of Tucson, Arizona, came back to eat 30 and three-quarter dogs in 10 minutes to win the women's event after transitioning.
After transitioning.
Yeah.
You'd think she'd be good at eating hot dogs then in that case, wouldn't you? You'd think that'd be her forte, sticking a hot dog in your gob, 30 of them.
That's just wrong.
Did she transition?
Well, what? Because she was trans.
Professional eater. And she
a professional what?
Eater.
Eater.
Couldn't qualify for the men's.
Yeah. She was she was Mexican. They called her one eater. She had one tooth. One eater. Yeah, only just had one tooth. So she ate 30, or he?
Three quarters.
What's her pronouns? They, thy, thee, thus, eater. Them, they, eater. Thou?
Talking about transgenders.
Yep.
You've seen Caught in the Act.
Caught in the Act?
She's not transgender.
Did you say caught in the
Caught act? Caught in the Act.
Yeah, she's I don't know what the right word is for it. She's what they used to call a trans.
Cis.
Johnny, shut up.
She dresses up. She's a man dressed as a woman. Has, you know, what do they call them? What they used to call a, you know.
Drag queen.
Yeah.
Yeah, drag queen.
She's not a transgender.
Oh, okay.
Exceptionally
attractive woman.
Hello.
What do you mean, hello?
It's not a woman.
Boy.
Oh.
It's a man.
I'm sorry. She was doing an interview the other day.
Yeah, but one she's plus a man one. Who just deliberately says she's a drag queen. It's a sort of a cult.
Drag queens I've seen are very...
RuPaul's drag queen. Have you ever seen RuPaul's drag queen show?
They're very ostentatious. She's not ostentatious.
Well, he is Shane Jenick.
Oh, really?
And they make no pretense that that's what they do. They enjoy it, Don.
Oh, it is. So the official is an Australian drag queen. That's the
right.
Official.
Yeah, that's what she is.
I'm so confused.
Seeing as we're jumping around, can I tell you this about sport?
Go on.
This is what I would do if I was the in charge of Stephen Hawking's job, and I got it. The umpires. How timid and how insipid and how weak. Have a listen to this for a stat. And if you don't tell me they're not intimidated and sell their soul generally, the West Coast Eagles in 20 years, listen to this, in 20 years the West Coast Eagles have never lost a free kick count when they've played in Perth. When they've played on their home ground, they've never lost a free kick count. That is, the number of free kicks they've been given has, in 20 years, always exceeded the ones that they've been given against.
Is that true?
There's no other side in the competition.
So it should be 50-50 every week?
It should be. It's never, ever in 1 year, in 20 years, have they lost a free kick count. Because
over the course of a year or each game in the year?
Over the course of the year.
Oh, okay. That's a bit different.
What do you mean? No,
it's still.
Why worry about free kicks?
Every game, Rocket. I'll show you the stat. And if you want to prove a point about the crowd influencing umpires during the lockdown, when there were no crowds, this last year and this year, they've had an average of 11 free kicks given to them, and during the season when there's been no lockdown and the crowds have been there, they've been given an average of 19 free kicks. 19 free kicks when there's a crowd, 11 free kicks when there's not.
How many of the opposition? Are they losing to the opposition at all in free kicks this time?
They've never lost to the opposition in free kicks for 20 years.
But what about this year with no crowds?
Hawthorn back in the 70s.
He's turning to Bruce.
Back in the
Free kicks do
not determine a game. Now, I'm just going to go on and say, through our time through the 70s, when we were successful, we were always down on free kicks. The opposition, yet we still won premierships.
Tell me why that happened. What about Geelong or whatever? Geelong same?
No, I've just told you. There's no other club that has no other club in 20
Don't
years
worry
has
about
that
free kicks. Just go and get the
Don,
ball.
Don, free kicks do matter if they happen at critical times.
No, sorry. I just told you the statistic in the 70s, Hawthorn were awarded less free kicks every week than the opposition. Yet we still kept on winning.
I think it's got to do with how well you play at home too, doesn't it? I mean, if you have a look at this.
Oh, Rocket, right? Please, if you have give a look us at this, a break.
Listen,
why would you play well at home? Why would you? You wouldn't tackle someone around the neck.
You've got an advantage
at home.
So
you wouldn't tackle someone around the neck when you're away, but you tackle them around the neck when you're at home.
Because you've got the ball. There's no need to tackle them at all because you're playing.
Now, what we're going to do is, Don, we've jumped all over the place.
You're not wrong.
We're going to have a rest. We're going to have a rest and we're going to do sport and general. Come back. We're going to have a hybrid conversation. So we're going to have a rest now and we're going to come back on. And you listening? Don't worry about who's pulled up out the front, Don. I'll put the blinds down if that's going to distract you. We're going to have a break now, and then we're going to come back. We're going to speak to a couple of people because they've just arrived. That's who's arrived in the car.
Let's just say goodbye, and we can say all this at the start of the next one.
What's that?
Don't do an intro now. Do the intro in the next segment.
Go ahead, Rocket. Please. Take over. Go ahead.
Say goodbye.
Well, go ahead. Go on. Fuck you. Go on. Go on.
Are we done?
You're telling
me. Hit the button.